Europe's biggest economy shrank more than 10% in the second quarter. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Germany's economic contraction is sharper than economists predicted and the biggest in half a century. The figures today show the coronavirus pandemic caused a large drop-off in consumer spending, business investment, and exports during the April to June period. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more on those details.
Economic activity in Germany and most other countries has been severely affected by the pandemic and the restrictions intended to contain it. The country's statistics office said that in the second quarter of the year, there was a massive slump in investment in equipment and machinery, in household spending and in exports and imports. As a leading exporter of goods, Germany has been very exposed to the disruption of international trade caused by the health crisis. The economy had already declined by 2% in the previous quarter. In normal circumstances, that would have been considered a very sharp fall, but it has been overshadowed by the deep contraction that's followed. I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Germany's DAX is down 2.3% on the back of that data. It comes hours before the Commerce Department in America releases the latest checkup on the health of the U.S. economy. U.S. stock futures are down as much as 1% ahead of that release. The figures are expected to show a contraction of about 8% in the second quarter. It would be the worst period in about seven decades. Back here in Europe, the Stoxx 600 index is down 1.2% after the latest batch of corporate earnings. Volkswagen reported an operating loss in the first half of the year, sending its stock price down 5%. Shares of French automaker Renault, meanwhile, are down 3% after posting a record loss. One bright spot, though, AB InBev shares are rallying more than 6% after the company said global beer sales rebounded in June thanks to looser COVID-19 lockdown restrictions. To China now, where Huawei has taken Samsung's crown as the world's biggest smartphone seller. Despite its battle with the Western world over security fears, resilience in its home market has made Huawei the industry leader for the first time. New figures show the company shipped nearly 59 million smartphones in the second quarter. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has more.
Huawei's fortunes are tied to China's economic recovery, and this industry report reflects just how much the firm depends on China as its main market. The Chinese tech firm sold more smartphones than anyone else in the second quarter, showing how China's market has held up even as the rest of the world's demands for phones slumped against the backdrop of the pandemic. But the majority of its phones were sold in its domestic market. Overseas, Huawei is suffering from U.S. sanctions and pressure from Washington on allies to stop using the company's equipment. Huawei's smartphone success is unlikely to last for long, because as other markets recover from the impact of COVID-19, consumers will also start spending again. South Korean rival Samsung, for instance, says it expects smartphone demand to pick up in the second half of this year. I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
A few months ago, we took you to a flower farm in Kenya to hear from a farmer who had no choice but to destroy his freshly cut flowers because travel restrictions prevented delivery flights from going to his key markets around the world. But after months of gloom, that's the sound of the industry slowly revving up again. From Nairobi, the BBC's Emmanuel Igunza explains how a $15 million stimulus package has helped revive the sector.
The government in May announced a stimulus package which will go directly to the farms, and most of them are in the Rift Valley, where there are probably 170 flower farms, and these farms stopped operations because of the disruption in the demand and also flight disruptions due to COVID-19. So many of those flower farms have restarted, and the workers are coming in with shifts because the farms are still struggling a lot with the production costs and they cannot afford to have workers on full-time basis. So the operations have not yet gotten to 100%. They are somewhere there between 80 and 85% at the moment.
So the farms themselves might not be back to full operations, but you did speak to one employee who was happy, even on reduced hours, just to be back at work.
For many of them, this is a matter of survival. I did speak to Caroline Cather, who works at the Bliss Flower Farm in Nakuru.
I thank God because we weren't out of work for long. We are now on half-day shift. Everyone has to wear a mask, even when we are outside. We still maintain social distancing, and we have to keep sanitizing.
flower farm worker Caroline Nkatha there. Now, Emmanuel, while things are looking up, industry players also told you that there are still challenges to work through as the country moves into peak flower season next month.
Yes, they did. And one of the most, the biggest challenge for them is, even though many countries across Europe are reopening, and which is a key market, the freight costs are very expensive, more than double from what they were before the COVID-19 pandemic. And so many of them are struggling to find ways of getting their flowers to the key markets in Europe.
So while workers are coming back, they're still not able to transport flowers to their biggest market in Europe. So where are they able to sell those flowers?
There's been an attempt by the flower farmers to try and target the local market. They had to reduce the prices for flowers. We've seen them trying to do flower bazaars across the areas where they are located, or they targeting government ministries or institutions. But this is really a drop in the ocean regarding the amount of money that the flowers industry does generate for the Kenyan economy.
So still a little ways to go. The BBC's Emmanuel Igunza in Nairobi. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Finally, from flowers to space, NASA is preparing today to blast a multi-billion-dollar rover to Mars. The latest mission is aimed at finding evidence of ancient life on the red planet. The one-ton rover is equipped with 7 instruments, numerous cameras, even a helicopter. It'll land in February and send rock samples back to Earth for analysis. America won't be the only one on Mars, though. As we've reported, the United Arab Emirates and China have launched their own missions earlier this month. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.